Launch good.
Good launch.
Good what?
No, launch food.
Hey, I know it's Ramadan, but we are launch good.
Ooh, launch good.
My mosque fundraiser was on it.
Yeah, my friend shared the Gaza school campaign.
That's us.
Oh, I think they're the ones where you can automate your daily giving in Ramadan.
More than 500,000 people have given and raised over $100 million on LaunchGood.
Join our 30-day Ramadan challenge and support a different cause every day on launchgood.com/Ramadan.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Jazakumullahu khair. Thank you for joining us today for our daily Ramadan reminders, where we go through different characteristics that are taught to us in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and displayed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his life. As Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was once asked, what was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like? What was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam like? And she said, do you read the Quran? And the person said, yes. She said, kana khulukuhu, his character was the Quran. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's practical example, the way he lived, becomes a tafsir, so to speak, or an explanation for some of the things that we read about in the Quran. And so today, brothers and sisters, we're going to look at a verse of the Quran. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. And they give food in spite of love for it. They give food in spite of love for it. In this verse, in Surah Dahr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us about a characteristic that I'm going to be speaking to you today about, called Jud and Sadaqah. Jud is loosely translated as generosity. And Sadaqah, as we know, is a charity. This specific characteristic has a direct correlation, actually, to the month of Ramadan. And the reason is because the Prophet ﷺ was described as kana ajwadan nas. He was of the most generous of people. And this is displayed in many incidents that happened throughout his life. You know, the Sahaba kind of knew that if he was wearing something nice and you said to him, that looks very nice, then they kind of already knew what that meant is, he's going to give it to you as a gift if you commented on how nice it is. The Prophet ﷺ, according to the hadith, they say kana ajwadan nas. He was the most generous of people by nature. This is who he was. And I think when we talk about generosity, we have to look from a scientific perspective too. You know, generosity and being pro-social, as they call it, and sacrificing one's own things. Generosity is kind of defined. One of the definitions that I came across for generosity is the virtue of giving good things to others freely and abundantly. Now, what's interesting is from an evolutionary perspective, this concept of just altruistic giving and helping is kind of hard to explain. Because in the concept of survival of the fittest, why would I help someone else? You know, if I give something, sacrifice and give to someone else, then I'm going to die. But here we are, human beings, and we give, we help others. And if we look at some examples of the Sahaba, we find even levels of self-sacrifice where someone will put their life on the line to save another human being. And from an evolutionary perspective, that's not very easy to explain, right? And there are a few different theories, kin selection, reciprocation, and things like that. But none of them do a true good job to explain why is it that we sacrifice for others. Unless it's something that Allah placed in us. Unless it's something that is naturally put within us. It is a human quality bestowed upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to reject generosity and to become a selfish society is to actually go against the divine order of how things should actually be. I mean, what is it that pushes a mother to have a child? a child that will take away some of her beauty and take away a lot of her sleep and maybe add a few gray hairs as well, more than a few, and the father as well. But the question is what it drives us to sacrifice our own self for another human being or even someone not related to us. How many incidents do we see on the news of a person? I've never met this person before, so it can't be kin selection. I've never met this person before, and I see someone in need. And because of, and this is the key I want us to understand, because of the presence of empathy, the ability to see oneself in someone else, we're able to sacrifice for them. Now, the concept of empathy, in my estimation, is best articulated in one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet said, "Al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min," that one believer is the reflection of another. Now, there have been many different explanations for that, but I think it speaks of empathy, because empathy is when you can feel, when you can connect to the pain of another person, and you can almost see yourself in that situation. And so you're no longer helping another person, but you're actually helping your own self in another way, so to speak. And so generosity was displayed by the Prophet ﷺ par excellence, because the Prophet ﷺ was sent لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, to complete the best of character. And so generosity is one of the top qualities that the Prophet ﷺ displayed. Now, when we talk about his generosity, and I said it had a special connection with Ramadan, the thing that we have to realize is that there's a hadith that says, وَكَانَ أَجْوَدُ مَا يَكُونَ, and وَأَجْوَدُ مَا يَكُونَ, the time where he would be most generous was in the month of Ramadan. Now, where's the connection? Why? Why in the month of Ramadan? Well, Ramadan is a month where the divine mercy is abundant. The divine mercy is abundant. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَهُ. Listen closely to this. Allah says, celebrate, be happy due to the presence of mercy and bounty. Be happy. Now, multiple studies, there's a study done in Berkeley, relate happiness with generosity. They say that when a person is in a happier mood, they're more likely to be generous. And when a person is more generous, they're more likely to be happy as well. And so if the Prophet ﷺ is witnessing the divine mercy, the divine bounty, like it's Ramadan, this is a time of mercy, that is bringing joy to his heart. And the joy to his heart is causing him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be more generous, to be more generous. And so I just want us to understand the connection between Ramadan and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's generosity. I think there's something deep to be witnessed there. And as it is the month of Ramadan, for us, what we need to do to now act upon this sunnah is, even though we're in this quarantine kind of state, I mean, some places are coming out and this and that, but we're still social distancing, our masajid are empty, but can we still be generous? Can we still be generous? Can we still find ways to be together and to help one another and to help those in need? Of course we can. Of course we can. وَبَتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. We have to keep finding those ways to bring that aspect back into our Ramadan, even though this Ramadan is a bit different. Now, I want to look at the antithesis or the complete opposite of generosity, because these qualities are qualities that we all strive to have, but many times we haven't reached the ideal place that we want to be with them. And so when we talk about the antithesis to generosity, one term comes to mind, which is bukhl, which is the Arabic term for stinginess, to be stingy. And in fact, there's a prophetic dua, which is a very beautiful dua. The Prophet ﷺ, he sought refuge from jubn wal bukhl. Oh Allah, protect me from cowardice and being stingy. Now, in order to become more generous, we need to understand the nature of being stingy. And we need to understand what caused us to be stingy and how do we cure that specific disease of the heart. And for that, we're going to look at one of the classics of our Islamic scholarship, Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Ghazali is a master of the heart, a master of understanding the human inner realities, the psychological realities of a human being's existence. And Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, the base of bukhl is a term called hubbul mal, or love of wealth. Love of wealth. And by love of wealth, what do we mean? Well, we all like money. We all like things. But what is hubbul mal and why is it a bad thing? Well, the reality of it, just because this is a short reminder, the reality is this. We're not supposed to love anything except Allah. That's straightforward. The reality of things is we're not supposed to love anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever we do love, we love it for the sake of Allah. Now, I know that's a very a deep concept. What does it mean to love something for the sake of Allah? Well, I love it because Allah told me to love that thing, or because it reminds me of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, we hate things because Allah told us to hate them or dislike them. So hubbul mal means that now I have this love for wealth, and that isn't necessarily, or that is necessarily, a bad quality. Why? Wealth is a tool. Wealth is a tool to be used to achieve and get things. And once that love, that tool, the love of it has come into the heart, well, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُمْ مِنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِي. Allah says, no human being has two hearts. And what that means is, whatever you love is what you love. It's going to overcome other loves. And so what we learn about this love of wealth is, there's a very interesting statement of one of the scholars. He said, listen, wealth in your heart, the relationship is like a boat to water. A boat to water. That's the best way to understand it. That your heart is the boat, water is the wealth. You're supposed to sail on the water. It'll get you to your destination. Use the wealth. But the moment the water gets into the boat, then it starts to become a dangerous and tricky situation. And similarly, when wealth goes from your hand to your heart, that becomes a different and sticky situation. So Imam Ghazali, he says, now, let's break this down systemically so we can understand how to cure ourselves of this antithesis to jood and generosity. He says that bukhl, stinginess, is based on hubbul mal. Hubbul mal. And he says there are two types. There are two types of love of wealth. There are, number one, some who love wealth because of the pleasures that it can get them. Love wealth because of the pleasures that it can get them. They understand, if I have this much, I can go vacationing, I can tour the world, I can eat whatever I like, I can buy whatever I like. And so they love wealth because of what it can get them. And he says the second category are those who actually just love money. They actually love the physical thing. Money. And I know this may seem odd to some, but in our culture, it hasn't become a strange thing to see just people flaunting money. In pop culture, that is, just money, abundance of money, just having it more than could ever be consumed in an entire life. Millions and millions amassed. Why? You can never even spend it all, but it's been amassed. And this is popular. This is in pop culture. We see this. We see this in our society. So Imam Ghazali says these are the two types of love of wealth. Now, Imam Ghazali then says, how are we going to cure? What is the remedy? What are we going to use to take away the love of wealth so that we can become more generous people? Well, it's really easy, actually. Well, it's like any cure. it's easy to explain, hard to do. So it's easy to understand, but the application, just like a diet, working out, easy to understand. 20 push-ups a day for a month. Watch what happens. Hard to do. So Imam Ghazali, he says this. The way that we cure our stinginess is through knowledge and through action. Through knowledge and through action. Now, what is the knowledge that we must have? He says, well, the knowledge you have to have knowledge of the benefits of generosity. What are the good things that being generous brings to you? What are the positive outcomes of generosity? What do we see that happens in our lives as we become more generous? Learn, study, memorize, know the benefits of generosity. Now, those benefits can be related to our spiritual relationship with Allah and our akhirah, and those benefits can also be related to worldly benefits. The study I was recently looking at is a study done by in Berkeley that talks about so many benefits of generosity when it comes to mental health and wellness, when it comes to longevity of life, when it comes to physical health, when it comes to happiness. And the list goes on and on regarding the benefits of wealth, the benefits of generosity, that is. And then he says the other thing that you have to know are the harms, the exact opposite, the harms of being greedy, being stingy, that is. What happens as a person becomes more stingy? What happens as we try to hold on to more, hoard more, hoard more, hoard more? What are the negative consequences? Imam Ghazali says, when you study those things first, that knowledge is the first cure. Knowledge is power. Understand how harmful being greedy, stingy is, and understand how beneficial being generous is. Secondly, knowledge and action. Action. What is the action? Imam Ghazali, and there's no easy way. If you ask me, hey, how can I get stronger? You know, I really want to tone up. I'm going to say, you know what? Hey, I read this thing. If you do 30 push-ups every day for, you know, 2 months, this and that, you got the knowledge. Now you just got to do it. You just got to literally get on the floor and do it. Imam Ghazali says the exact same thing. He says that you have to remove the quality of stinginess by spending generously by force. Now, some of us may say, well, if I give by force, I'm not in the spirit of giving, right? It's like, wait, if I'm giving by force, I'm not in the spirit of it. I'm giving because I'm forcing myself. I'm saying, Mikhail, you got to give this $500 to this charity. You got to give this $20. You got to give. I'm forcing myself. But remember, we are training our nafs. We're curing ourselves of something. And so just like the person who we tell, if you do 30 push-ups a day for, you know, 3 months, the first week is going to be nothing but force. The first week, he's going to be like, all right, here we go. It's time to do those push-ups. But after week two, week three, week four, the person themselves will become addicted and used to giving. And in fact, the reservoir of our willpower will not be depleted by the action. What do I mean by that? Well, many people don't understand willpower. Willpower is not an infinite resource that people have. Burnout is real. And what that means is that when you have to do something that takes a lot of willpower, sometimes that can drain your willpower for the day. Okay. And that's why it's easier to do those tasks in the morning than in the evening. But after you do those things regularly, the amount of willpower that it takes to do that action is diminished. So it takes less willpower to do it. And so what happens now is we get used to giving, it becomes easier for us to give. It doesn't become such a taxing thing on us psychologically to give or fight against that pressure. And in this instance, we're talking about giving generously. In fact, there's a hadith the Prophet ﷺ said that a stingy person is like a person in armor whose hands are the chain armor is wrapped around them, and you know their hands are stuck up like this, just like this. And the symbolism is like when your hands are up, you can't reach to your pocket. So, you know, and the Prophet says, you know, they can't give, they can't move, they can't give. But when they force themselves to give, the chains around them loosen a little bit. And when they give a bit more, they loosen a bit more. And when they give a bit more, the chains loosen more until the chains fall off. This is exactly what I'm speaking about willpower, that you have to give in order to defeat that push against. You have to give forcefully until it becomes a part of our nature, our second nature. So these are just some aspects of generosity, brothers and sisters. I just wanted to share a bit. This verse tells us about the Sahaba, وَيُطْعِمُونَ طَعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّ. They fed food to people despite their love for it. So again, it's about spending, self-sacrifice, true altruism, where there's nothing we get back from it, only knowledge that we've helped another human being survive and move forward. That should be enough. That should be the impetus. That should be the encouragement and motivation behind our generosity. But it starts with empathy, and it starts with you seeing yourself and others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your month of Ramadan. May Allah accept from you all that you've done. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us back in our masajid, seeing each other back together, and alleviate the world of the trouble and the disease that we're going through at this time. Jazakumullah khair, everyone. Today's program, obviously, brought to you by Qalam. We're trying to do as much as we can for you. And Helping Hand as well. Helping Hand, they do amazing work when it comes to relief and development around the world. So support them, support Qalam, and we'll see you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair, wa ahsana jaza. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.